And in Ken Norton's head is that big 3 minutes. It's just 3 minutes. Don't make a mistake. We've got this fight in the bag. And in Ali's head, it's 3 minutes to put this guy away. And we will see what this 3 minutes bring, as the tempo of the fight has not changed at all. Ken Norton still attack. A beautiful right hand by Ken Norton right on the jaw of Ali into a corner. Ali grabbing. Ken Norton having none of it, winging those wild rights. Ali again out of the corner. Ali now moving back. Ali's got to stop and fight here.
Ali trying an uppercut, takes a great right hand to left, and Norton backs him into a neutral corner and pounds away at the ex-champion.
20 seconds left, and Ali is battling for his life. He's battling to keep himself from getting knocked out. He's not even battling to win. He's just battling to stay in there till the bell.
Well, it's less than 10 seconds. There will not be a knockout. Ali scores with a great right, but it's too late, folks. As this fight is about to come to an end, Ken Norton still after the ex-champion.
5, Norton. 4, Ali. Judge Fred Hayes. 6 points, Ali. 5 points, Norton. Ladies and gentlemen, referee Frank Rustich. 7 points, Norton. 5 points, Ali.
Norton wins the fight. Look at Norton jumping up and down.
The late Ken Norton's great claim to fame, of course, beating Muhammad Ali in that non-title event, breaking Muhammad Ali's jaw. And that is the Tower of Power, bringing us back from the break, folks. Speaking of Tower of Power, I'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But my guess is the best heavyweight ever. And people laugh when I say this, but I put it on paper when I rated the top 3 heavyweights of all time. I rated Jack Johnson 53-11-9 with 34 KOs at number 3. Muhammad Ali 56-5, 37 KOs as number 2. And number 1 was Larry the Easton Assassin Holmes, 69-6, 44 KOs, 19 defenses of the World Heavyweight Championship. He joins us from Easton, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Larry?
Hey, man, I'm doing better now that you called.
Well, it's always good.
On your radio show.
It's always good to talk to Larry Holmes, man. I mean, like I say, I have a lot of respect for you, not only as a fighter, but as a person and as a parent. I mean, Larry, and nobody's perfect, but you know what? You're a pretty damn good guy.
Hey, you know I try to be, man. Of course, you don't get nothing with vinegar. You get more with sugar than you do with vinegar.
Okay.
I want to stay sweet.
Yeah. You know, Ken, the passing of Ken Norton this weekend, and you and I were together, and I don't know if you remember this, we're in Sacramento, California, and Harold Smith had some scam going. He brought us all into Sacramento. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it, man.
Okay. I think everybody got a little bit of cash on that one. So anyway, Ali tells Norton, as we're standing there in that green room, he says to him, "You know, champ, that third fight, I think you got the best of it." And when he told him that, Norton almost started crying?
Yeah, and that's true. I gave that to Norton, too. But you know what? Ali was so big. He had so much charisma, and people liked him. And they gave it to him. But you know what? A fighter should win a fight, and he should lose a fight fairly. Norton won it fairly, but they didn't get it. It's a shame.
You know, Larry, when you were sparring with Muhammad Ali and like before the George Foreman fight, and you were a young stud, then Ali was coming back trying to win the heavyweight championship again. What was it like being in camp with him? Because I've seen films of you, and you're like lighting them up like the White House Christmas tree.
I was mostly pulling a lot of the punches that I was throwing. I wasn't really hitting with full force. I was doing with a lot of open cuts because I knew what he had because I was a sparring partner for 4 years. And I knew he couldn't do anything with me. And to me, that was a payday for Ali, and that was it. So, hey, I didn't have to do no more than I did.
Okay, how's your family doing? That son of yours, they came up with the greatest line of all time. He goes, "What's it like to watch your father fight?" He goes, "It's very stressful."
It is stressful. Anytime you watch somebody that you care about fight, it is that way, that's normal. But, he had to get over it because I had to do what I had to do, Okay.
Speaking of doing what you had to do, the 1978 fight with Ken Norton is considered one of the greatest heavyweight fights of all time. It was held probably in the greatest fight arena of all time, the Caesars Palace Sports Pavilion, because it only held about 3,000, 4,000 people. Everybody in there got a ringside seat. But, man, Larry, that was 15 rounds of hell. What was going through your mind going down the stretch in the championship rounds there?
Being the champion, winning it, getting the opportunity to win it, and just taking advantage of getting that opportunity. You know, I might have said it all different and backwards and whatnot, but I think in the long run, they'll figure out what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great day for me, man. It was a blessing from God. It was a blessing for me to even meet guys like Kenny Norton and Muhammad Ali and places, people like that. Because, you know, you watch them on TV, you might hear them on the radio or whatever, or glance at them from a distance, but you never imagine that you'd be close to them. And, you know, I was just honored to be close to Kenny Norton and then to get the shot to fight Kenny Norton. That was even a bigger thrill, you know, and I was happy, man, that I can tell everybody that I was with the greatest fighters of all time.
Yeah, he can. We're talking with Larry Holmes, folks, the Eastern Assassin, the former world heavyweight champion. In fact, if you go to ringtalk.com and enter top three heavyweights in history, top three heavyweight champions in history, you'll see the story I did on Larry, the late Jack Johnson, and, of course, Muhammad Ali. Now, Larry, I got to ask you this. Some historian just shot me an email here, and he says to me, ask Larry what happened with Dwayne Bobic. Did you lose? You lost to Dwayne Bobic in the amateurs, but you would never even put him in the same ring with you as a pro. What happened?
Well, I lost to Dwayne Bobic in the amateurs because, you know, one of the things, we was fighting in the Olympic elimination to go to the Olympics, and what happened is I qualified to fight the winner of Dwayne Bobic and Nick Wells, and I think Dwayne Bobic beat up Nick Wells, and he was not able to go. And so that way he put it on me. And at that time, I was going down to light heavyweight and lost a lot of weight and everything. I weighed about 180 pounds, I think, maybe a little less than that. But I didn't care. I didn't really want to go to the Olympics. I really didn't want to fight, go to Munich and fight. Something told me, don't go there. So I didn't put my best foot forward. I just did what I had to do.
Okay.
And he wanted to fight, and hey, God bless it and wish him the best, man. That's it.
Okay. What's life like now? I mean, for Larry Holmes, you own half of Easton, and if anybody has a complaint in Easton regarding a streetlight being out or a pothole or anything like that, you call Mayor Larry Holmes. You don't call anybody else, right, Larry?
No, you don't. You don't call me. I'm not the man. You know, I mean, people would like to say that I do, and I don't own the city. I don't even really want to live here anymore. Because, you know, I'm treated not fairly, you know. For instance, today they're having a festival outside, and they brought all these trucks in front of the name on my patio that I can't see them band play. So I don't think that's really right for them to do that, but especially when you spend millions of dollars in the city. But they got their way of doing things, and I let them keep doing their things. But you know what? I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing until I don't want to do it no more.
Okay. How will history remember Ken Norton for beating Ali that first time and going into the trenches with you for 15 rounds? Is that his claim to fame?
Well, let me tell you about Kenny Norton, okay? All them fights that he had with Muhammad Ali and everything. But guess what I remember Ken Norton doing? Playing Mandingo, the movie Mandingo.
That's right. That's
and
right.
They killed him in that movie Mandingo with that white girl that he was with and had sex with. They killed her and then they killed him. That's when I first met Ken Norton.
Wow.
When that movie was out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember even after we fought and I beat him and he was bitter about it, I used to say, Kenny, tell me, man, the movie looked like you really have that girl with no clothes on. He would never, never say yay or nay to any of that. Just use your imagination. Use your imagination, you know, and because that's all he really was. But he would never admit to nothing. He was a good guy, man. Kenny Norton people like Kenny Norton. And I like Kenny Norton. I like being around him. I like looking at him because the guy was built up to the day he probably died.
Yeah,
he was built,
like
he was in shape
yep.
all the time. And, I wonder how somebody looked like that could get into so much problem with their body with health wise.
Well,
you know, I with the accident, car accident did something, I don't know. If the motorcycle accident did something to him, I don't know, but that could have probably had an effect to him down the road.
Last time I saw and spent a lot of time with him was in obviously in Sacramento. But before that, 1995, we did New Year's Eve together on South Beach for a Harold Smith promotion. And I think Harold didn't come up with all the cash he was supposed to come up with on the morning of the everybody was supposed to leave, right? And there was Ken Norton in the lobby of the hotel. I think it was Eden Rock down there in South Miami Beach, saying to me, "I'm gonna choke Harold. Have you seen Harold? I'm gonna choke him." Harold never got choked, but a lot of people wanted to choke him.
Yeah, well, you know, he brought a lot of money. He had a lot of money. You know, I mean, I made one mistake by not taking some of that money that he offered, man. You know, when a guy brings you $1 million and put it right in front of you in cash, you wonder, damn, that scared me alone. If he had bought me a half a million, maybe that wouldn't have scared me that, but he brought a whole $1 million and laid it in front of me and said, sign these papers, all this money is yours. Real money.
And
I didn't take that money. I didn't take that money, and I could have kicked myself in the butt ever since, you know, because that money was good and it was legitimate, and I didn't take it.
Okay, but you know, what was funny about that money, though, was that when you talked to Don King, Don King said, don't sign nothing, don't sign. Wasn't that the way it went down?
Don King scared me. That's one of the reasons dying, because you don't know where that money comes from. Don't take that money. That money is good. Don King was looking out for Don King and not Larry Holmes, because that $1 million in cash would look really good in my bank account.
Uh-huh. You know what? I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy. I know you're doing all kinds of different things, but I thank you for the time that you spent with me. And in my mind, you are the best heavyweight of all time, in and outside the ring. Because you know what? When it came down to telling it like it is, Larry Holmes wasn't afraid to tell somebody where to go. See, okay, and most of these...
I'm gonna tell you this then, okay? What? I'm going to tell you this real quick. You know, if you stop calling me, I'm coming out of retirement.
All right.
Come and get you. That's what I'm going to do. Come get you. Beat you up.
Okay. I miss you, Larry.
Always call me.
All right.
All right, buddy.
I miss you. Say hello to your wife and your kid for me, all right?
You got it, Fernando. Talk to you later.
The great Larry Holmes, folks, the Eastern Assassin on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. 29 years on the radio, of course. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Hey, the American Forces Network and the iHeart Radio Network. Taking us to the break, the great James Brown.